philosophers in
space, 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 space.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
There is no such thing as Silicon Heaven.
Then where do all the calculators go?
Uncertainty is inherently unsustainable. Eventually, everything either is or isn't.
Sparks happen. Yeah, she knows it's a multipass.
Hello and welcome to Philosophers in Space. I am coming at you from a swampy part of space. I don't know how that makes sense, but this space suit I'm in is very humid. I'm on location in Louisiana space. How about you? How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing okay. I got my bomb diffusing suit on. I am ready to go. We've got a lot to cover.
Oh, yeah. The swampiness is actually just Aaron's sweat. It's just he's sweating so much from the pressure of having to.
It's the hurt locker over here.
Yeah, exactly. Because Aaron is going to. Really, I mean, honestly, that is the main attraction of these Q&A episodes is just you thanking names and having to read them. Like, I don't even know that the people care about the philosophy, but we'll give you both just in case.
Certainly, our more sadistic individuals have gone out of their way to make this entertaining.
So why don't you thank the first, I don't know, what should we do, 10?
Yeah, we're going to just try to round out the last group here, I think. And so we'll just try to get through everybody, and I'll try not to be too slow about it.
All right, I have rigged Aaron to a device that does explode the minute he mispronounces a single name. But no big deal. I mean, I figure that won't, you know. No danger there. It's just
I feel like most of the time I'm like 10% cheaty, and then it like the names happen, and I'm like 100% cheaty, and it's just pain in my stomach immediately. All right, here we go. Brian Schiligo.
Jesse. You just exploded. God,
hate you, John. I got John right. How do you like that,
John?
Scott,
yeah.
Scott the Woodworker.
But it's J O N, and you accidentally said J O H N. I could tell. So
the international cheese eater. I like the ones that are like that, right? Where I don't have to like, it's not these arbitrary syllables that we have in our names. Aaron Taylor, that's a good one.
You had to pause on that one. How do I pronounce this name?
Teach Out Torres 2020.
Oh, that's a
John
good one.
John Copeland. Michael Victor Zink. Cassaba the Hutt.
Can we... Guys, I'm calling an audible. It's just going to be a whole episode of Aaron reading names. It's my favorite thing that I've ever heard.
I will read all of them. That's fine.
The entire time. I might send you all of them.
This is what I deserve for making GW read all of them on Embrace the Void.
Our first question comes from Jake the Fake Jake. Can a technocracy be a viable rulership structure from both your points of view and from the idealistic view? Same question, but with AIs as the ruling people, in quotes.
Right. So I guess the idea is either a small cabal of humans with a bunch of technological capacity or sufficiently advanced AIs, whether either of those can be.
Is that what that means? Is that what it's to explain a technocracy?
Yeah, a technocracy is sort of, you hear it more often used like liberal technocrats or like people who believe that a mix of technology and social progress can, you know, reshape human nature in various kinds of ways.
Oh, okay. For a second, I thought you were going to say, is it like our leaders are technocrats? Like they know so much more than we do and they're kind of just shaping stuff for us and we don't really know why or what.
Yeah, it is sort of that.
Is that like Brave New World kind of
thing?
It's like
that with a bunch of technological expertise, basically. Okay. And then you can see how that would sort of easily translate if the AIs get smart enough that they could just take over being the ones in charge. Then you take the humans out of the picture entirely and it's a full technocracy.
Well, I want to say that I think that if we just went based on, you know, our experiences of watching TV and movies, then no, it's 100%.
It goes poorly.
Never works out. Yeah. But
way to agree with Jordan
like, that's
B.
probably
Peterson
just because
he's always getting on Justin Trudeau as being a liberal technocrat. Sorry, it's a deep political cut. My apologies.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Jordan Peterson and Canadian related. Like, I'm not two things that I just, yeah. No, but I think I wonder if, okay, the unpopular answer is always going to be, yes, this could work. Like, you know, nobody wants to believe that, you know, society or humans could be ruled by overlords. Like, nobody ever wants to believe that that's viable. But, like, I don't know, sufficient enough AI, why it's at least possible, right?
I'm certainly more sympathetic to the possibilities of a sufficiently advanced AI versus the classical technocrat, which is like the human being with a bunch of technological expertise and capacities and tools that they're...
Al Gore. Like, Al Gore just rules.
Yeah, like, it's...
Tell you what, he'd fix climate change, you know? Maybe... Tell you what, that might be the only viable thing, because any other, you know, any alternative just leads to death by climate change.
Oh, there you
so,
go.
How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I mean, I think the most plausible argument I would put forward for why it's a bad idea is... the kinds of expertise you need to be really good with technology and the kinds of expertise you need to be really good with for figuring out how to understand the needs of large groups of humans and then implement those needs are, I think, two sufficiently different, highly technical skill right. sets that, like...
I mean, just look at all of Silicon right, Valley, right. basically.
Like,
they're not the kind of people that you want leading... Well, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe eventually they will yeah. be, but... For now, they're not the kind of people anyone wants leading.
I think the age of philosopher kings made more sense when there was a lot less knowledge. And like in the modern age, what you need is a very complicated bureaucracy mixing together a bunch of important expertise, right? Like, so there should be some technocrats in your government, for sure. But I think them being the ones solely in charge is probably not so great. But I'm on board with the, if you get an AI sufficiently advanced...
What is that, an old-timey telephone ringing? What century are you in?
Sorry for the interruption from the old-timey past there, listeners. As I was saying, I would be more sympathetic to the potentially sufficiently advanced AI that takes over and controls every facet of human life, though you have the obvious concerns of paternalism there. But I think... it certainly has more upward possibilities than human beings. I feel like we've...
Yeah, turn off your old-timey space telephone and let's thank another few patrons. How about it? Now, I've upped the explosive capability on this next test. It's actually going to be targeted right in your groin area, just so you know. So keep that in mind as you very carefully read the next 10 patrons to thank.
Okay. Next, we've got Nick Kuski, Matthew R. I hate you so much. Pugsley, Patrick DuPaul, Jody, Ben Sedmak, Zachary McCausland, Atropos Twitch, Eric Johnson, Cosmic Gypsy.
All right, let's see. You passed, maybe. I don't know. We'll wait to hear back from people if that was right. And now we get to take a question from an incredible Patreon name, and that is, I'm starting my own intellectual dark web with blackjack and hookers. If someone wanted to read Rawls' Theory of Justice, what would you recommend as a pre-reading list? Or is it something a layperson could just jump into?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's funny, I struggle a little bit when people ask me, like, what would you suggest on reading, even though, like, I do this stuff a lot. It's hard for me to often know what, like, is actually comfortable. I feel pretty comfortable saying, though, that I think most of our listeners could, you know, Google a PDF of Rawls's Theory of Justice and just kind of dive into it, and it would mostly make sense for them. I think if they wanted a useful sort of structural analysis of it, honestly, Wikipedia is not a terrible place to start for things like this as a first resource, not as a last resource, but as a place to get the basic structure. They're not that far off most of the time. If you want something a little more advanced, the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, the SEP, as it were, is a website that has articles on everything, including John Rawls, and has a good section on the theory of justice. That's going to be a little more technical, a little more advanced. And then you can read the paper itself. It's pretty easy reading. You can make sense of the veil of ignorance and the two sort of principles of justice. I think it's all in pretty plain English.
All right. Well, that was definitely a you question. I don't know as much about
figured
that.
Figured I'd just feel... I mean,
but I'll just chime
to,
in. Yeah, well, another thing that's good about Wikipedia is even if you start there, they've always got sources, you know, and you can kind of check out, you know, okay, they're linking this, and then you can read this the source material and go further if you want.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of poo-pooing Wikipedia. I feel like I think they're pretty consistent a lot of the time, as long as you, you know, continue to move beyond that.
All right. Well, let's see now.
All right.
With the explosive still rigged, carry on.
Okay. Hayden Westbrook, Gwyn Richards, Corey Johnson, host of the Brainstorm podcast and the Hardcore Skeptic.
That's Corey Johnston, and your penis just blew off.
Well, now I'm an agent of chaos instead of order, apparently. Elven Engineer, Mr. Bible Pants, CampQuest.org, 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 Chris Abbey, Evan Matthews, Elizabeth, oh, that's going to be hard. Okun, Ian Gustino?
All right. Well, your mangled remains will have to answer this question. Whoa, this is a long one. Okay. From John Schmidt. I think we could have fun looking at Avengers Infinity War. Well, weren't we going to do this one?
Yeah,
I don't know. Spoilers,
well,
man.
I thought we were going to, you know, we could mention it as something we're going to preview. It's just...
But before I read more, are there spoilers in here or what?
No.
Whatever.
No, there's
no
spoilers in here.
Stupid comic book
movie.
Right, anyway.
Exactly.
We could look at Avengers Infinity War through the ethical paradigm lens and core values lens, such as which heroes embody each of these: duty over all else. He's saying that's Captain America. Right. Utilitarianism at its worst, which is Thanos. Well, is it at its worst? I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's
I think you're going to be on board. Actually, I think you're going to be very pro Thanos.
I'm team team Thanos. Self-actualization. I'm not sure what that means exactly, so you have to explain that to me. But he says that's Iron Man. Virtue, natural rights, Vision and Scarlet. Might makes Reich, Hulk, Thanos. Mysticism, appeal to mythical authority, Doctor Strange. The best debates are pitting core values on top of other core values and one paradigm versus another. I believe it's actually a core human advantage to hold so many contradictory patterns in our head. Having internal conflicts between duty to the tribe and lowering the suffering of strangers is one such common conflict. By letting our minds always be in an unstable ridge between opposite patterns gives us creativity and adaptability. Interesting. He also adds, keep up the great work. Zero G is still my favorite podcast. Oh, that's so nice.
I thought it was a good comment.
Thank you, John Schmidt.
And I like the topic.
What do you
think? I think it's a good topic, and we are going to do Infinity Wars. And I think we'll also, I think, do a core values episode having to do with Star Trek. Because I think you and I have talked before about, like, if you think about it, all of the different races in Star Trek are sort of paragons of a certain kind of virtue. So there's a really cool discussion to be had there. Very similar to what he's done here with the different heroes and what they represent in terms of different ethical principles. I definitely want to have a discussion about the central ethical debate of Infinity Wars and how it relates to sort of utilitarianism versus deontology. And I'm very amused. I'm looking forward to finding out what your views are on Team Thanos.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk a lot about this value pluralism that you've talked about before. I see what he's saying, but I also think once there's these irreconcilable differences, I don't think that's an advantage. I think that, you know, like, we kind of tend to just ignore them, or there are conflicts that we never solve because of it. So I don't know. There's definitely downside. Can you explain what does he mean by the self-actualization for Iron Man? Like, what does that mean exactly?
I think what he means is that Iron Man's character arc goes from kind of lazy hedonism to becoming a full-fledged person. Okay. I think that's what he's going for there. I would probably tweak some of these a little bit. I'm not sure that Hulk or Thanos qualifies as might makes right. And I think you're right to question the utilitarianism at its worst kind of stuff. So anyway, but I think it's a really good way to frame the conversation. So I think we will put a pin in that and then pull that pin on the episode.
I like it. All right. Well, speaking of pin, there's a grenade strapped to...
You're really on board with this metaphor.
So... Oh, it's not. It's literal.
It's quite literal.
So 12
the
more
like a dragon?
Plus a
is
bonus one.
Is that what you're saying? God, I can't get it out of my head. I'm sorry.
All right. All right. You're really on to Jordan B. Beard, but that's okay. Now the wider internet is on to what a nutball that guy is, so that's fine. All right, you've got 12 more, and then you've got another bonus one that I'm quite excited for. So,
okay.
No, you've got, I'm sorry, 11 plus the bonus one, so 12.
I'm Chris, just Chris, from God to Trump
pause.
To Chris.
My pause, I love it. My favorite is the pause before, because he knows. He's like, There's a part of him that's like, is there an explosive strapped to me right now? Will I?
Steve Eichenhout. Sure. Why not? Right? It's certainly wrong. Peter Marchetti. Ian Ryan. Adam Rod. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Ron Hovday. I'm going to lose patrons because I'm going to start being too responsive to this. Oh, no. This is one that I've seen before and gotten wrong before. Shit. Anthony Fortier. Fortier.
Fine, yeah.
He's gonna correct me for that one.
I mean, it's hard to know. You don't know how they're pronouncing it.
James Devine, I'm going to guess. Or yeah, it seems like Devine. Tyler. Rob Ives.
Every ounce of the silence in, Brian. Keep every ounce of it in.
Matthew Laird. And then, all right, our bonus one.
Tell the story of this one.
This is a good friend of mine who's an Aussie, whose name we read on the first one, but doesn't prefer to have her real name associated with things. So asked me if I could please do some Aborigine instead. So Aaron, please say... Bujiwai, Queen Bayan, Burmagui, Kabul Truer, Kuji, Wyong, Liama, Maruchidor. Do not act like my friend. Please do not. If you ever want to hear the answers to the rest of your questions.
Not only did you get all those wrong, that was super racist, and you offended several cultures.
Incredibly
it's your
racist.
Worst nightmare. And the grenade is about to go off.
I'm such a bad person now.
So fun. All right, David, the Patreon saint of podcasts. Wow, that's a good one. It's clever. Who is your favorite Eastern philosopher? What is your favorite school of Eastern philosophy? That's definitely
you don't have any preferences? How's that meditation going?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
You've been doing some meditation, haven't you? I heard your podcast about that.
Right. I've been doing some meditation, which has not included me reading any Eastern philosophy. I thought my Qui-Gon Jinn joke
that's
was
good.
Funny.
It's good. No, it's a good bit.
Okay. I didn't want to upstage that. Okay.
No, you're good.
Go ahead.
You're good. It was good. You're very pretty, just like G-dubs. My favorites, I guess, are mostly I gravitate towards Taoism and Buddhism. So Lao Tzu and Zhuangzi and Buddha, and amongst the sort of the Buddhists after Buddha, my favorite is Nagarjuna, who is the father of the Mulamadyamaka Karika style of Buddhism, which is the very voidy style of Buddhism. So I like those primarily, I guess. I've got some others listed down later on for another question, but I think that's probably my favorites amongst the Easterners.
Why should there no longer be this stupid Eastern-Western divide? Like, shouldn't it just be philosophy? Am I crazy?
And it's been that way among some philosophers and then not other philosophers for a long time. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, 100 years ago, people were already translating these texts and comparing them to Western views. It has gotten better, I think, in Western academic circles, but it is still a problem. And we will certainly try to be doing our part to bring in some Eastern philosophy here, quote unquote, but really just philosophy.
All right. Well, it's my turn to thank some patrons, and I'm not going to do any better than Aaron, but I also just have no shame. I'm not strapped to an explosion. Hey, I'll do my best. I'm not gonna shortchange anybody, but names are hard, you know. People pronounce their names weird ways, and you can't know. You just gotta be comfortable not knowing. Is that an Eastern philosophy? Yes. You gotta be resigned to your not being able to do the perfect job here.
Yeah, that's a good Eastern and Western philosophy.
Thank you to Emily Burke, Colette. Enema Man. Ricky Burnett. Void Crab Nebula. Nice. Alexandra Tursky. Tursky. No. Sorry. Now, I'm going to make this bigger. Hold on. I'm doing worse than I need to be because my screen is too small.
Oh, yeah. You're blaming the tools now, technocrat.
I had the wrong helmet on in my spacesuit. All right. Tursky. Oh, that's an IY. That is a weird one. All right. Alexandra Tursky. Eric Erickson. Have more names like that. Cassie Holiday, The Sinister Lucy, John Mossman. All right, thank you, folks. And now our next question from Jared. Aaron, what drew you toward teaching? How do you balance teaching and two podcasts?
I'm glad you also laughed when you read that part.
Any advice? Yeah. How do you balance three nothings? No, I'm just kidding.
When they're the same nothing.
Any advice for a young person like me post-education with a philosophy degree? The only reason I laugh is because I was working like massive amounts of a full-time job and an overtime and doing like 10 podcasts. That's the only reason I laugh. Not to belittle what you're doing. I had to have a tiny
Your relative privation fallacy. I understand. I get it. What initially drew me to teaching? I mean, I've always, as far as I could remember, liked understanding things. And I really enjoyed, on a visceral level, the moment of helping someone else understand something or understanding something at the same time as someone else through shared learning. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hedonistic for me, to be honest. I take a lot of pleasure in that experience, in knowing that someone else has come to understand something as a result of something that I did. So it's very self-gratifying. And then it turns out to be moral. So that was a bonus when I started to care about those sorts of things. As for balancing teaching and two podcasts, it is a little more challenging than Thomas lets on. I do...
How much editing do you do?
Yeah. I will point out that the reason it's easy for me is because I have two very great partners, both of whom
What's that? You weren't editing five of your own podcasts and doing all the research for some of them and then also working a full time? What?
I did successfully voice most of the parts of this that I'm not good at or don't want to do onto other people. That makes it a lot easier. And then...
Well, I mean, you at least built the website and manage, right? I mean, you got it.
I do the show notes. Don't judge me.
No, that's true. I do. The show notes are very good and you do a good job of that. I very much do not belittle that. That is something I don't do.
As for a young person post-education with a philosophy degree, we shouldn't laugh at that because that is a challenging situation to be in. Stop it. Quit it.
Make better choices in life.
No. Look, a philosophy degree means you have critical thinking skills if you got a good philosophy degree. And critical thinking skills are applicable in 90% of the modern job market. So there are options if you really want to do philosophy.
I remember the big sell I would hear from the philosophy department people at my university was, well, you can become a lawyer. They get great scores on the LSAT. Like that was like the big selling
wrong,
point.
Right. You will do well on the LSAT. That is true. If you want to do philosophy for a quote unquote living, there are a lot less options. I'm not going to lie. I don't have a PhD and have managed to moral luck my way into a teaching position at a university that, don't tell anyone, wouldn't have taken me on as a PhD student. No, wow. For a fact, they rejected me. But they're cool with me teaching as a...
You're good enough to teach there, but not good enough to go
there. The world
there.
Is very, very complicated.
All right. Well, we gotta move on to... We're running out of time. But great question. And sorry I laughed, but it is funny. Okay. Next question comes to you from... Benjamin Carlisle, Rocket Doc, Hausdorff, Kirsten, Pete Barrington, Grunting Frog, Jesse Hoffner, Jesta O, Bob Brown, and Rational Humans Should Eat Little to No Meat.
Well, you read it like right. An NPR host. That's the difference. You're just like, it's bloodless.
whoa. Yeah, I don't have any skin in the game like you do, apparently. Like your children that don't exist or their lives are at stake. All right. Oh, I love this question. Torsten Peel, or Peel, I think it's pronounced. Torsten Peel of prosperitykarma.org asks, is the following too unfair and or harsh? I love that start to a question. Buttism. What? Buttism. Buddhism, a religion of escaping reality and measuring enlightenment by how far the believer can shove their head up their butt.
It's not really a question. It's more of a comment. But,
yeah, I was going to say what.
I guess the harsher unfair part is a question. It's entertaining. I wouldn't use it in an argument, certainly. But if we had reached the point in the argument where we had ceased to make arguments and had moved on to the like jostling and scoring portion where it's just a bunch of name calling. I would probably throw that out there as a burn. I think that's a pretty effective burn.
All right. Well, that's a nice quick one. So that allows us to get to some more patrons. From Jason Willis, Jonathan Moyer, HK Mimic, Clifton Stuckey, Keith, Shane, Michelle Nelson, Dylan Lark, Corey Hunt, and Corey Ebert. They bring you this question. From Paul Freeland, which philosopher's lives and or works would best lend themselves to adaptation into a musical? Ooh, who would you want to write that musical? Bonus question, which politicians would you want to see storm out in a huff after the show? Oh, that's good. After the show, I think you mean, wasn't it like right after the start of the show? Or
I don't remember.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the NFL game. I think he did storm out.
They made a statement at the end about how he has a moral obligation.
Yeah, no. I think you're right. I think the thing I'm thinking of is he went to the NFL game, and then right when someone kneeled or something, you're just like, all right, I'm out of here. It's like, come on, you douchebag. You knew that was happening. All right. Well, I don't know as much about philosophers' lives, so you'll have to tackle that one.
I have three jokes here, three options, right? I think a show about
yours,
Hume.
A show about you.
A show about David Hume versus Immanuel Kant, done in the Hamilton dueling kind of style, because they were very famous philosophical duel. And then...
oh, I see. But write better music.
See, I was waiting for the judgy part. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And in that musical, obviously, Hume would be the good guy. And so you'd expect any religious members of your audience. So it could be Mike Pence again. It could still be Mike Pence. Mike Pence could storm out.
Yeah, it's always going to be Mike Pence who's storming out.
Or we could do a show about Socrates done Jesus Christ Superstyle.
Superstyle. Right? I like that. Superstar style. Right. Yeah. you just lopped
that
off. Yeah,
I did. I portmanteaued that. You go okay with it?
Jesus Christ Superstyle. Yeah. I usually get my Big Mac Jesus Christ Superstyle.
At the end, they both get murdered. That's the sort of unifying thing.
Yeah,
and then,
true.
Or third option, we could do a show about Simone de Beauvoir done Fun Home style.
Oh, I love Fun Home. I saw Fun Home in New York. Did I tell you
did.
That?
And I was happy to hear that you actually had some taste in musicals.
Okay, Big Shot. No, that one was great. It was original. It wasn't like, hey, we took a Spider-Man and made it a musical. Everything is, they made that into a musical. They made that into a musical now. I mean, to be fair, Hamilton wasn't that. So I'll give it credit for that. Hamilton wasn't already a movie or a book. And you know, at least it was.
Also, to be fair, SpongeBob SquarePants is excellent and should win Best Musical this year.
Okay, well, I do like SpongeBob quite a bit. I haven't seen or heard the musical, but I just like the show. So okay, I'll give you that one. But everything else is like, here, they're making this old movie into a thing. And it would be nice to see some original writing. Plus, hence the opportunity for someone to write the David Hume and who's the other guy?
Immanuel Kant.
I already forget. Immanuel Kant. Yeah, that's perfect. I like it. Okay, I don't know. I don't think I have anything to add to that other than... It could be a good musical. I could see, you know, there's lots of dramatic tension in some of these lives. I'm sure you could make something
definitely
good. All right. It's my final segment of people to thank here. Yes. And I'm going to start with Emily Gallus, Fruit of Hoops. Dave is tired of living in the dumbest timeline. George Green, Randy Waddle, Dude, General Contact Unit Problem Child. Justin, Ruth Hardy, John, Sophie Cara, and Eric. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show and for essentially sponsoring this question. Eric Erickson asks, you repeatedly mention our lack of free will, but I don't recall an episode where you help us understand the basis of that. Oh boy. Is there a somewhat succinct way of explaining why at least one of you feels so strongly about that? Well, we've talked about that. Have we talked about it on my show? And of course, I'm sure you've done ETV on that.
Yeah,
right?
I think we did it. Actually, it was part of a little bit of the first time I came on Serious Inquiries right after the name change. But we also, we just did episodes 43 and 44 of Embrace the Void. 43 is a debate with someone defending the compatibilist Daniel Dennett kind of view of free will. And then we just did 44, which will, I think, come out the same time as this, actually, if I'm thinking about it. Got that right. That's going to be on, it's gonna be on Moral Luck. So Moral Luck ties in very strongly with the free will stuff. So it's all, those two go together really well. So there's your answer.
Yeah, I myself go back and forth between, I think, the last numbers I've seen, it seems like most philosophers are compatibilists, right? Do you use that back?
I would imagine. I think that they, it depends on how broadly we define the term compatibilist, but I think they would probably try to at least be the kind of compatibilists that want to use the language of autonomy and quote unquote choice, even if none of it is really true.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stuff in, like, I've read a lot of Dennett on compatibilism, and quite a bit, actually, when I did a big show on it back mm-hmm. in the day. And I think there's a lot there. Like, there's a lot of good stuff there. And I think moral responsibility is a good way to possibly redefine free will. But it's still, I mean, I don't know about the question of whether or not that makes sense to do. Like, if you've introduced a new concept that I don't think most people are at all thinking of when they say free will, like, how much is that compatibilism versus, you know, here's a different thing that we have, like, we don't have free will, but we do have this thing, you know what I mean? So, like, I think it's useful. And I think a lot of his thinking on that is very interesting, and it would be cool to, we should probably cover it at some point on the
show.
We'll
do some episodes where we can, you know, there's all sorts of sci-fi stuff that raises these kinds of questions. We just haven't gotten to it quite yet, but we certainly will.
All right. Well, that's it for our main show here. Thank you guys so much for supporting, and I hope you enjoy these Q&As. I know I do, just for Aaron reading names. it's the best. But we are, of course, going to be on After Dark. We'll do a bonus question or two for patrons only over at patreon.com/0G. We'll see you there.
That's all for the main show, but if you'd like to go to patreon.com/0G, you can enjoy Philosophers in Space After Dark. Here's a little sneak peek for you.
I wish this one was on the main show, because this is a super interesting question, I just realized, but that's okay. It's for you only. John Schmidt asks, at what age would Thomas let his child start listening to his podcasts? First step is, I love that implies, like, my child would want to listen to me like that.
This has been a burst transmission of Philosophers in Space. All music written and performed by Thomas Smith. If you've enjoyed your infotainment upload, please locate the nearest podcast interface device and fill it with 5-star ratings and glowing reviews. If you think ground control should spring for fun new goodies and content, consider supporting us at patreon.com/0G. You can find us on Twitter at @0GPhilosophy, where Aaron will instantly and compulsively respond. Or you can email us at philosophersinspace@gmail.com. Finally, if you're sad that it takes so long for our signals to reach Earth, you can always find Thomas over at Serious Inquiries Only and Opening Arguments, and Aaron over at Embrace the Void. Until next time, live long and philosopher.